Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. Hear the word of the Lord. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring, blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. But before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our New Testament lesson comes from Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 19, on PU Bible page 851. Hear God's word. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this will take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famine and plague, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by your parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word and ask that it would guide us and lead us, that it would show us the path we are to take. May your word speak truth to our hearts and open our minds. May we be able to better serve you in a broken world because of your word. May it comfort and guide us, O Lord, today and tomorrow. Illumine your word for us today. We pray this to you. Amen. And then the lights broke forth and it became bright. Every time I read this passage, I have a soundtrack playing. And if you haven't noticed, there's a soundtrack always playing in my head. And it can be a book, it can be scripture. But this particular scripture is the early 70s song by the five-man electrical band. Signs, signs. Does anybody know that song? Okay, I'm glad there's a few. There are so many signs out there in our lives. There are signs that we drive past. There are signs on buildings, company signs, advertising signs. They're all over. They always have a purpose. Sometimes it's not quite so clear as to what the purpose is. Sometimes there are signs and we are so relieved when they're all down, like right now. There's a catcher who gives signs to the pitcher that hopefully, if the pitcher is paying attention, they're calling the right thing. Someone who is hearing impaired can communicate using ASL, sign language, to speak. A baseball team can use trash cans or other devices to give a sign that somebody should take a swing. But outside of rectangular or even oval or circular or other shaped signs, we have signs of ourselves within us. In my family, the biggest sign that trouble was coming, that something had happened, was my grandfather moving quickly. You might wonder about this. So, Grandpa had a hunk of shrapnel in his knee that they couldn't pull out. This speaks to the man's desire for coffee, that it was going to get a cup of coffee while on the line, that it happened. He still got the cup of coffee even though he got wounded. So, he had a normal, slow, and steady gait that hid that wonkiness from the shrapnel, except when he went upstairs. And every time he went up the stairs, it was fast to minimize the amount of pain he felt with every step. So when Grandpa moved quickly, something had happened. Maybe it was the time at Thanksgiving when Dad sliced off the top of his thumb and shouted from the kitchen, and you saw Grandpa. Well, you don't brace your thumb on the cheese when you're pulling the slicer that way. Just a quick lesson. The time my little sister got hit with a baseball playing first base in the backyard, Grandpa ran like that. So when Grandpa moved fast, it was a sign of something happening. There are so many signs in our world. Just last week, I mentioned that the weather and the distant clouds is a sign for any Midwesterner that something is coming and you want to get in the basement. All that's missing is the sound of a freight train accompanying all of these little signs in our world. Some signs mean something to some don't. I remember sitting in the office my first week on the job and hearing the siren from the fire department and sitting with Reverend Stickley and just looking at him like, why are you so calm? That's a tornado siren. Why are you just sitting there? Why are you just sitting there? And he starts to laugh as the panic washes over my face. Bill, it's just the fire company. It's not a tornado. Well, you've had a few more years to learn that. Try to
dust myself off from hiding underneath the desk. I didn't actually hide this close. But signs tell us that something's going to happen. They give us a warning, so to speak. And that's what the people start this conversation with Jesus asking for. What's a sign, Jesus? How do we know this is going to happen? Now, I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt that their asking for a sign was completely without problem and without ulterior motive. But I also wasn't born yesterday. You see, as we get more technological, there's an aspect of phones where you can send somebody a ping while you're driving. They can follow you along the road and know you're okay. Unless you're my father-in-law. And then you refuse to share that. And why is that great? Because you know where grandpa is, so when the kids ask, you can say, that's where grandpa is. It's handy. But you know what's not handy? When you give people a way to live, a way to be, and you tell them that at some point, some unknown time, they will have to stand before the Lord and account for how they have been. They will have to stand before the Lord. What is everybody going to do when they know they've got 5 minutes left? Suddenly, everything is like when you find out your father-in-law is only 20 minutes away and you realize half the kitchen needs to be cleaned still. There's this rush to get everything done. If you know the king is coming and he's only so far away, how are you going to respond? Let me give you another scenario. You're going out to dinner. Some of you, this has been a while, so use your imaginations or memories. You're going out to dinner and you've left the kids at home. They're older. They're old enough to be there. And which would you rather have of two scenarios? The first scenario is the kids kind of listen to how you told them to behave. They listen pretty well, but there are a few things that they weren't supposed to do that they probably did. But for the most part, the whole time you're gone, they're listening and following you. Or you go to dinner and the kids have a massive party. Everybody came over to your house and it is fun time. And you call them when you're 20 minutes away. Oh, we're leaving the restaurant now. We'll be home in just a little bit. Would you rather have the perfect house you're going to come home to after all their friends and all of the kids cleaned up the house for that last 20 minutes? Which would you rather have? The obedient kids who never knew when you were coming home, or the kids who threw the party and only listened for the last 5 minutes? That's what's really at work in the requesting of Jesus for signs. People want to cheat. They want to know, when's God coming back exactly? I'm just asking for a friend, Jesus, because I want to have some fun. And if I can be just obedient for the last 10 minutes, that would be perfect. That's the difference. And which do you think Jesus wants? Which do you think Jesus wants? Obedience, following him, people who fall short but still strive and try and work at following him as much as they can. Or people who for the last 5 minutes say, well, I really got to get on that. That's the problem. That's the problem that signs give us. And that explains why Jesus isn't going to talk about signs. He's going to talk about what's going to happen in life, in the lives of the believers. Because remember, God is not going to come in the expected way. Think about that time on the mountain when Elijah is in that cave. And what does he hear? The wind, the storm, the breaking rocks from the wind, the fire. But where does God come? In the unexpected silence. The reality is that a request for signs is a bit of a cheat. Because even if they know that the sign is coming, there's no guarantee that they're going to listen. Noah didn't exactly build an ark in a huge pole barn, hiding it from everybody behind curtains. He built it right in front of everybody. Everybody saw it being built. Everybody mocked him. They knew why he was building it. Oh, God's going to make it rain. Yeah, okay. They believed nothing of what he told them until the waters started to flow. God warned them and called them to listen. The prophets were abused for calling the people back to God, even when the prophecies that they were making were happening in that moment. The road signs and map was right there, and the people didn't listen. Signs don't necessarily get listened to. Jesus lists off a ton of possibilities of signs, possible signs, wars, natural disasters, famine, plagues, everything. But he caveats that with, the end will not follow immediately. The end will not follow immediately. The end will come when God brings it. And in the meantime, guess what? You're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. Everything is going to happen. All of these things are going to happen. And you, my people, need to be faithful and follow and listen. His focus isn't on signs when the temple will be restored, when God will come again. His focus is on how his followers live and how they are ready for what they have to live through. He wants them to know that there is so much that is going to happen, so much struggle and so much strain for them to go through in their lives. Yes, there's a huge difference between preparing someone for something and then actually having to live through it. But the reality is, life is filled with moments that prepare us and make us ready for what will happen. He wants us, does Christ, to understand that we are called to live faithful lives, to follow and persevere. There's going to be stuff. There's going to be signs, natural disasters, famines, persecutions. They're going to happen. They did happen. There's no amount of preparation you can have for all of that. And yet, there is the end game, the end goal that you're working towards. See, that's what Jesus is directing the people towards. Not make ready because when you see X, Y, Z, things are going to happen. But what they need to do, what they need to be, how they need to exist when all those things happen. What is the end goal in mind for Jesus? He lists it in verses 18 and 19. When he says that we will not perish. Not perish. Not a hair will perish, because we will have eternal life with him. We have one job, well, one job with many parts. The first is to live with an imminent expectation. The expectation that whenever God comes, God will come. could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 1,000 years. We don't know. You know who knows?
God.
And the reality is that we need to make ourselves ready with the imminent expectation that any minute could be the minute. And so we live as if the next moment is not promised. We live as if every moment is treasured. Every day is treasured. And so every day has a lot more meaning and a lot more weight as we seek to live faithfully. We live as witnesses to Christ, to bear witness, as he says, to witness to our world, to all that Christ is, all he is doing, all that he has done. It's through us that the world sees Christ. We show the joy we have to the world. We show what it means to be a Christian to the world. It's through us that they see what Christ is and what he is doing. When we espouse hate and spew venom, what do you think that does for the gospel? When we act counter to the teachings of Christ, and when we as witnesses bear witness to something that is not of the gospel, what does that do? Brothers and sisters, as we bear witness, we need to trust in his Spirit, as he says. Don't prepare a defense. Allow me to work and speak through each of you. It will be with us. He will be with us. He will watch over us, care for us as we seek to serve this world and help everyone who comes our way as we wait for the day when we will see him. Amen.